Like diamonds in my head, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand in Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone do I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed. For only His tender mercy will reach beyond my weakness to my And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains for losses for the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and my glory. Christ the Lord. I place my trust upon my glory in the power of the cross. Oh, in every victory, let it be said. My soul's of strength. Source of strength, man. Your source of hope. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for our Lord Jesus, man, and all that He's done for us through our lives. Man, let's just worship Him today. Give Him everything we have. Pour ourselves upon the altar and let Him minister to our spirits today. Sing this song with me. How great is our God? The splendor of the King. Oh, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. And He wraps Himself in light, piercing darkness tried to hide. Trembles at His voice, trembles at His my heart be changed. and be new, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see. By the power of your love, hold me close now. Listen, let your love surround me. Over me, draw me to your side. Of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your love in my life, living within me. needs to the Lord. Brother Ted, if you'd be willing to take these needs to the Lord for us, I would appreciate that. And I have a special need here. Says, please pray for my grandpa. He's been diagnosed with heart failure, respiratory failure, kidney failure, and lung cancer. Being sent home tomorrow, hospice. Please pray for our family in the coming weeks. This is for Maggie. We can definitely going to hold you and your family in heart and up before the Lord in prayer. I have another request here from Jackie Whitlock. I would like to request prayer for a co-worker's baby. His name is Bryson. He has only gained a pound. It's coming home from the hospital 4 weeks ago. And so let's remember that special need for that little one. And I know that our Lord can move upon the scene. Lord, please pray for Brother Earl. He's not feeling well today. And Brother John and Sister Jennifer Cochran will be on Capitol Hill this week to address the senators on their adoption. Remember that special need in prayer that God would move on to you. And you remember Brother Richard Smith also in your prayers. He has an upcoming surgery, a procedure on his scalp. And so we're going to remember him in prayer. Also, I was made aware of Sister Mary Smith's birthday today, 86 years old. So we want to wish her a happy birthday. May God bless them and be with them. And we certainly bless them for taking their lives. And that's all I have at this time. You have spoken prayer requests, special needs on your heart, and God sees your need. Let's pray together.
Bow our heads. Lord God Almighty, what a privilege that you've endowed to us, Lord, people that have been called from before the foundation of the world. People that has been saved and redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. How privileged we are, oh God, to have access to your benefits. Lord, we don't forget them. We rely upon them, Lord. We're thankful that you purchased those redemption on your way to purchase our salvation. Lord, we're thankful for these benefits that will cover the needs of people that we've just lifted before you, these requests I lay my hands on, Lord, and that we've in our hearts already received and have already returned to you, Lord, the one that can meet every request, every need, Lord. We thank you, O God, for your grace this morning. We're thankful for the Word of God made flesh, Lord, that we can be part of that, Lord. We're thankful that you wrote our names in your Lamb's Book of Life. We're thankful for our fivefold ministry this morning, Lord, that can come out and deliver your Word that's tailor-made for us and the needs that we have before you now, Lord. We just want to lift your name in praise this morning. Be in the midst of us, Lord, as we endeavor to worship you this morning. Be with our brother as he comes forth to deliver the word. Jesus, we know that that word will let us leave here today better than what we came in as. Lord, I lift a personal request for my oldest daughter, Rachel. Just ask that you be with her this morning. The trial she's in. Give you praise. All we say and do. Jesus' name.
Brother Ted, you may have your seat. We have a special this morning from Brother Keith as he's making ready there. We'll just play that song softly as Brother Matt's. Oh Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I live.
This world never gets no better. Seems like I've been here forever. Everything after a while just seems the same. So it's time to be up and going. I can feel there's a window blowing. I'm ready to move, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to move, move on up to another dimension. And change. Relocate to another location. There's nothing to hold me here no more. I'm already out the door. I've got the Holy Ghost here to prove, and I'm ready to cross the border to a brand new country, bright and fair. I hold a little revelation. This body's gonna see its translation. Moving up to a mansion in the air. So I'm ready to move on up to another dimension. And I'm ready to change, to relocate to another location.
Sing a song. Amen. We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Amen.
We fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 we cry, holy, 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 is the and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy,
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. Your name. Name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by depression, oh, I speak Jesus. From the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Sing it again now. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Would you stand and sing with me? Oh, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. Oh, the name of Jesus. Your name is power. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power. All together now. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is alive. Come on, break those strongholds, church. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Sing it again. Shout Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name. Jesus, 'cause your name is power. Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Amen. Let's praise him. Let's praise him, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And as Brother Aaron makes his way, let's sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, key of C. Amen. Just pray that our hearts would be open to the word today, amen, that God could place that seed, amen, within. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Yes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see.
Heavenly gracious Father, Lord, we just thank you to be able to come here and worship you and to feel your presence. Lord, now we ask you just bless this offering, the tithes and the giving. We ask you just be with Brother Aaron as he brings the word. Amen.
You give us unto the Lord, and as Brother Aaron makes his way. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you now. I lift it up, oh, oh,
well remember Brother Smith, who has a surgery of the scalp, and he also did mention that it's Sister Mary's 86th birthday. So we want to remember her, and we ask that you send her messages if you can. You know, I think everyone appreciates Sister Smith. We also want to remember Brother Barry, who is in Canada, and we want to remember Ethan and his wife who are away. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come to your throne this morning, Lord, asking, oh God, for healing, Lord Jesus, for Brother Richard Smith. Lord Jesus, he has faith in you, and he believes that only you can make a way for him. Lord, you are a healer, Lord. No matter what phase of our lives, what season, it doesn't matter, Lord. We don't have to give up on faith, whether we are 80 or 70 or 90. Your word tells us that you are God that healeth all our diseases. Father, there is no preclusion in the scripture for age or season. Father, you are a healer, oh God. When we are young, you are a healer. When we are mid-age, you are a healer. Lord, in the later days of our life, we remember Moses of old. He was 120 years old, and he still had good eyesight. He was still able to fight battles. Father, that's the same blessing that we are asking upon your children. May you be with them, O God. Lord, you said that we shall be the head and not the tail. We shall lend and we shall not borrow. Father, you promised us good health, Lord, if we obey and if we follow your word. Oh God, we fall short, oh God, of your glory, but we know that your grace intervenes for us. Be with us this morning. We want to remember Brother Barry and many of the saints, Lord. We have many needs that we read this morning. May you just be with them, oh God. We ask that you come in the service and just brood over each and every one of us. May you breathe life, oh God, upon your people. May you, God, uplift the young man, strengthen the feeble hands, and help, oh God, those who are not needing strength. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may have your seats. Greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much, musicians. We have a bit of a long service this morning. Not that I'll be preaching long, but I have a lot of material to cover. So I hope that you will stay with me, lock in, and in 1 hour we'll be out of here by the grace of God. But very nervous, but I hope that you pray for me. I realized very quickly that I'm not the brightest bulb in the room. So today I slept at like 2 a.m., you know, praying and figuring out what can I, you know, bring before God's children. Because, you know, we don't take these things lightly. Amen. Because we know that people's eternal destiny rests upon what is spoken from this place. So we rely and depend heavily upon the Lord. I always laugh with Brother John Andes. I said, hey, you know what? I depend on God because my father was not a message pastor. I wasn't raised in Jeffersonville. I don't have a great big name to lean on. I lean 100% on Jesus Christ. So Brother Barry sends his greetings, and he misses all of you this morning. So he sent me that picture yesterday. So let's continue to remember Brother Mark, his brother in prayer. They all look the same to me. I think we have got options, right? If we lose one, we can get another. Yeah. If the technicians can cut that part out of the sermon this morning. All right, next weekend, Brother Peter, we have what? Youth weekend, right? Yeah, youth weekend next weekend. It's going to be fun and games. There will be word. There will be a lot of activities. If you are 13 years and up, you are certainly welcome. If you are 12 and if you want to come, talk to your parents and talk to Brother Peter. And come and see me. I might find a way to sneak you in. But it's 13 years and up. So you need to RSVP. You know, in Africa we don't normally use that, but here in North America you have to RSVP. Amen. So please RSVP. It's good for planning purposes and to know, you know, what to expect. So there will be snacks that will be provided for the young people. So Friday is going to be, you know, bonfire games and fellowship. Saturday, sports activities, 10:30 a.m. to, you know, 3:30, then they service, then 6:30, and there's a snack after the evening service. And then Sunday, we have two services on Sunday. Can you say two services? Amen. 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. And a snack will be provided following the evening service. So if you have any questions, reach out to Brother Peter and Sister Rachel Coffey for the young people, and also you can ask the deacons. Amen. So if maybe we can stand up on our feet this morning. If you have a birthday, just hang on. Brother Barry will be back next week. We have not forgotten you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The scripture reads, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That's a very, very important scripture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've come to the most sacred part of the word, breaking the bread of life. May you come, Lord, and minister to your people. We commit it into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may have your seats. God bless you. So today, it's a half and half. Some people don't like half and half. They just like black coffee. But we have half and half. It's half missionary report, half preaching of the word. So you bear with me. Sometimes I wonder if I should start with a sermon and go to the report, or if I should start with the report and go with the sermon. So I guess today we'll start with the mission report. Amen. So we want to talk about identity inscribed in eternity. And for a subtitle, it's a new name, right? So, but we'll come back to that. But in between, we're going to talk about the Africa trip report. So in June, mid-June and July, we had a journey to Africa. It's a very long trip. I think at a minimum, flying from any place in America would take you at least 16 hours if you take a direct flight. And so typically it's like 19 hours, 20 hours to make a trip to Africa. So that's kind of like, I didn't find enough time to put the arrows. So our trip was from New York to Addis Ababa, which is here in Ethiopia. And then I flew to Tanzania. Where is Tanzania? Oh, my goodness. All right? This is Mozambique. Yeah, so... Up, right? Yeah, so somewhere here there's... The Maasai's are somewhere here. At least I know that they're there, right? I have been there, but I should have cropped a better map. So, yeah, so that was the journey from Ethiopia to the southeast of Africa. Many people in North America, they think Africa is one country. It's actually 52 countries, and it's much larger than it looks on the map here, and it's the most diversified continent in terms of just gene pool, right? You have the highest number of languages in Africa. You have the shortest people in Africa. You have the tallest people in Africa. You have the slowest people. You have the fastest people. That's a scientific fact. So Africa is very diversified. Like in one country, I remember we wanted to do some translations in Namibia. It was very hard because one village would have a language, then the next village have a different language. So if you put a lot of resources in translating for 30 people, then you have to put a lot of resources translating for the next 40 people. So it makes it hard sometimes, you know. So that's the only thing that we thank the British for, giving us the English language. Only thing. So it's very diversified. So often people would say, oh, how is Africa? Oh, do you eat this, right? It's like my Latin friends. You know, I had to learn that very quickly, that, hey, it's different, right? But brothers in Mexico, they are different from people in Nicaragua or, you know, so sometimes I thought everything is the same. The food is the same. Everything is different, right? Anyway, that's not supposed to be a history lesson, but I'm just trying to give you a perspective. So we went we took our flight and we arrived in Arusha, Tanzania, and we were met by none other than Reverend Bishop Elias Paul Yangwe. He is the local pastor of the church in Arusha. And this is another brother. He works at the airport. He's very, very helpful. Sometimes, you know, going through the airports can be much more trickier than what we're used to here because of, you know, corruption and things. So this brother, may God bless his heart, brother. His name is Brother Paul. He was very, very helpful in getting me through the airport. So that's the picture on the right, and on the left, that's us driving from the airport, Kilimanjaro Airport, to Arusha, which is the nearby city where the church is. So you can see I was very excited. As soon as I saw the African sky, I was very happy. And so we went, and this is Arusha. This is this clock tower. I think they call it the midpoint. I think it's the middle point between Egypt and Cape Town. So the main code roads, he wanted to make a network from Cape Town, the southest point of Africa, to Cairo, Cape to Cairo. So the middle point is in Arusha. So that's what this clock is. So I took this picture there. So while we were in Arusha, we also met with some of the missionary brothers. This is one of them. Very, very wonderful brothers. These brothers, they do a great job in just going out and, you know, ministering to the different tribes in different regions. And the most popular mode of transport in Tanzania is these motorcycles. So they are very, very handy, right? If you haven't tried them, I invite you to come with me next time. And I know here you have motorcycles, but I feel like these are like at a different level, right? Anyway, so we were there, and we had, you know, a number of services. We met the missionaries, and one of the things that I like to do when I get there is to buy Bibles for them in local languages. Bibles are very, very valued commodity. So there are local bookstores that sell Bibles. Our preferred partner is Bible Society. It's available in some countries. Some countries it's not available, but it's available in most countries, but not in all the cities, right? So that was me with Brother Elias. We got a bunch of Bibles. This was, you know, before service. And when we got the Bibles, we went to church. I got a chance to look at Brother Elias' library. So Brother Elias is a very, very resourceful brother. So when we send out materials like the Church Age book, like you can see here, you know, they keep them in the library and they give them out, you know, strategically. They're not just going to dump books all over the place, right? And we also buy these motorcycles. These are mostly Chinese made, but they work pretty good, right? We buy them for like around 1,000 a piece. So a missionary can, you know, have this. It's very, very life-changing because public transport is almost non-existent in some of the places, and some of the roads, actually, some of the places don't even have roads, so you can actually, you know, use the motorcycles. So that's the church library where they keep books for the missionaries who come from many different regions. They come, they get supplies from the main church, and then they go out, which is what Brother Branham teaches us in Taking Sides with Jesus. He says there'll be a main church, and you know, local missionaries, they come to the main church and then they go and spread out the word. And when they grow, they mature, then they can become independent and sovereign, right? But that's the apostolic way. Just another picture showing you how widespread the use of motorcycles are. So I took this picture when we were driving somewhere with Brother Elias. This is like a little, you know, spot along the road where you can, this is where you pick your taxi, right? If you want to go somewhere, right, you can just call any of these guys, hop on. I mean, it's very convenient. You don't have to use the Uber app. You don't have to have good internet to make the, or to have a credit card or anything like that. You just, you know, hop on and, you know, you pay your fee and off you go. So we had a couple of services. So when I go to Africa, I feel like when I come back, I hardly have any voice because we have so many services. So this was a big Sunday. So it was a very special day. Brother Ben has, some of you have enjoyed the Sunday dinner. And one thing I like about African food is that I don't have to read the food labels. I just eat, right? Everything is organic, right? So Brother Elias was very gracious. He hired some people outside to cook the food for the church so that the sisters would have to, you know, concentrate on the word and not have to worry about cooking. So this is a picture of one of the services in the church there. So they had a tent outside, so we had a lot of people who came to the meetings, and it was a wonderful time in the Lord. At least for me, because I was preaching, but I don't know about others. So sometimes Brother Elias was very good. He would pick me up at the hotel and drop me. But sometimes when I got bored, I would sneak out on a motorcycle, go and get some street vending supplies. You know, so that was my picture there on the left. And while I was there, I also met Brother Bernard from Rwanda. So some of you might remember one leader in the advanced world who has been talking about solving six conflicts and so on. So one of them is Rwanda and the Congo. So it is a very prolonged dispute, right? Rwanda and Congo. So Rwanda, they had a genocide, they had all kinds of things. But now they have a new leader. His name is called Kagame. So he's okay. He's a strong man. But sometimes, you know, a lot of these brothers, these leaders, they tend to lean towards communism and they like to control things and so on. So they have cracked down on Christianity because they say, hey, they're abusing people, asking people to make, you know, pay some money and so on. So this brother, it was his first time actually being in a church, hearing a service in a very long time. Because he was visiting from Rwanda. He was very, very happy and excited. And I got to meet him, interviewed him, had, you know, contact with him. I spoke to his pastor. Maybe sometime in the future we'll visit there. We're trying to see how we can help. Because, you know, Rwanda is kind of similar to Ethiopia, right? In Ethiopia, you can't just open a church. It's very, also very, very controlled. You know, so a few of the Christian churches there, some of them have to be, you know, either there's, you know, Hickory opens a foreign branch in Rwanda or Ethiopia, and you have to do a lot of paperwork. When I say a lot of paperwork, I mean a lot of paperwork, right? Because they do it, one, because, you know, some of them have a Muslim population, and they fear, you know, rebels. Some of them, they are just skeptical of America, you know, because in the past we've been good at, you know, taking out governments and so on, right? So because of that, communist countries, they're very, very strict. And people who are into books, like Brother Ben, will tell you that the communist countries are the most difficult to work with, right? Whether it's printing in China, like you have to sign a lot of disclosures if they allow you to print. You know, sending books to Russian countries, it's not as easy. So that's Rwanda. They have closed a lot of churches. Hundreds and hundreds of churches. So there's only one church that is open in Rwanda. is because the man who is a pastor there, who is a professor and is connected with government, most of the smaller churches are closed. So people have, you know, house meetings where the police doesn't see them and they get together. And the requirements are a lot. One of them is to register with the equivalent of, you know, World Council of Churches. You have to have at least 1,000 people sign signatures that, hey, you have to be a pastor. The pastor has to have a degree in theology. The associate pastor has to have a degree in theology. You have to. It's a lot of work, right? So it was nice to meet this brother, and I hope that you keep him in prayer and the saints in Rwanda. I also got a chance to, unfortunately, I went in after Sunday school. I also got a chance to see, to tour the Ben Sharon McCaffrey Children's Sunday School. So we thank Brother Ben and his wife for sponsoring the building of this Sunday school room. And then after Tanzania, we met missionaries with, you know, a bunch of services because, you know, I had 10 days and had a lot of places to travel to. From Tanzania, I then went to Ethiopia, right? I know when I came down, I passed through Ethiopia, but I started with Tanzania first because it was going to be cheap on my flight to start with Tanzania than to start with Ethiopia. So I went to Ethiopia. And then this is the brother that took me from the airport. He is the pastor of the church in Addis Ababa. His name is Brother Mogis, which is, you know, Moses in our translation. So I think Mogis is the Amharic translation. So we had fellowship, and then we went to Bible Society of Ethiopia. So the most difficult part about Ethiopia is to get English Bibles. Again, you know, it's a bunch of Muslim population. There are some tribal disputes sometimes, you know. So everything is heavily controlled, like sending things from outside. So they promote their Ethiopian Orthodox Church, similar to what you have in Russia, where they want to promote the Eastern Orthodox Church. They are very skeptical of sending what they call Western materials, right? So we had to go to the Bible Society and try to have a meeting with them to see, hey, can you order some English Bibles for us and we can pay them, can we have an arrangement? But it's just very, very difficult. So it's either I have to bring them through Kenya, or when somebody goes there, they have to carry some. So, but we were also able to buy some of the Amharic Bibles. This is one of the Bible Society shops in town. So we went and we bought a bunch of Amharic Bibles, and the brothers and the sisters were very excited. And by the blessing of the Sunday school team, we also got some Sunday school books for the Sunday school there. That's a group that sometimes we forget about. But yeah, I would like to thank the Sunday school for sponsoring these books for the little ones. So this is a common sight in Ethiopia because, you know, these are countries that are not as stable politically, so you have soldiers all over the place. So this is a mall where we went, and you know there will be soldiers, there will be bomb detectors. The security is very, very tight. So he agreed to take a picture with me. And that's the church. That's the church in Addis Ababa. It's somewhere in the outskirts of uptown, and that's the church that where they meet. And this is their small printer that they use to print books, right? So we do send them books, right? But they still have a great need for books. Ethiopia is a country of about, I think it's like more than 130 million people. Yet the message is kind of new, you know, it's still spreading. So there's a lot of work to be done in Ethiopia. There's a lot of work to be done in terms of evangelism, supporting, you know, the spreading of the message. So imagine a population half of the United States, but the message is still very, very, you know, virgin in that part of the world. So you have this printer. This is, I think, in total they're starting to have outreaches. The number of churches in the whole of Ethiopia, message churches, they are less than 7, right? They are about 6, 7, maybe I'll just say less than 10, ballpark, right? So that's the small printer that they use. We do send them books, church books, materials. But in between, they may need some, you know, single sermons, and they use this small printer to print books. So I did see some of this. This is some of the books they have in the library. This is the whole library that supplies the whole country of 130 million people. So, and that's the local church. That's the pastor's wife. She's actually from Kenya. And that's the saint. This is like their traditional dress. They like to put this on special occasions and on special Sundays. I got a copy of mine because I also associate with Ethiopia. And that's their local church. This is, you know, some of the saints that received Bibles. They're showing them up here in this picture, and they sent their thanks. Some of them went to out in the missionary fields. I might have forgot to put some of the pictures. This is another group in a different location. I forgot to take a picture in one of the churches. So I used one picture that was sent to me. And then from Ethiopia, we went to Durban, South Africa. And hey, food is a big part of the trip for me. Only difference that this time I was on a diet. So the temptation was very high. But I should say that I managed to overcome. So this is Brother Rodney Musami. He helps with, he lives in Durban right at the port. So he handles shipments from most of the brothers who print books, vision books. Some of the brothers in Poland, in Germany, they supply books. So he took me, and I went and I saw I saw Durban, and you know, we spoke about how they do the process and different things. And they also do a lot of missionary work in Durban, South Africa. So that was you know, my trip in Durban. And while I was in South Africa, I met a great missionary, Brother Tim Dodd. I think this coming week will be his last in South Africa. So hopefully, by the grace of God, we'll see him in at the men's meeting. Some of you might remember him as he's a missionary director for Cloverdale for many, many, many years. Just a wonderful season, brother. I went to saw him and his family. And while in South Africa, we also, you know, got a chance to buy Bibles for the saints in South Africa. So South Africa, they have many languages as well, but Zulu and Xhosa are the main languages. But there's a group that speak a language called Sepedi. So if you hear them speaking the language, it's it's just different. So that was these Bibles. These were the Sepedi Bibles. So if you hear them speak some of the languages in South Africa, you will be amazed that God can, you know, just how God is. So we also had a service in a church in Benoni, Johannesburg, and then some of the saints in Clayview, Johannesburg, that received these Bibles. And these are groups that are coming up. You know, some of them are out in the country. Some of them are in the locations, right, where they also need resources. They do rent out some of these buildings that you see, but they were very grateful to have the Sepedi Bible. And from South Africa, I then flew to Zimbabwe. I think by this time I had done, I don't know, maybe 18,000 miles. So while in Zimbabwe, I met Nyasha Mafuba. He's the CEO of Bible Society Zimbabwe. So we have worked together with Bible Society in Zimbabwe for the last couple of years. And they consider me like a shareholder, but not in the sense of like private companies, but just somebody who gets appraised on what's happening. I attend board meetings and so on. So this was him, and they gave me this little gift soldier Bible because of, you know, the work that we've been doing and the support that we've provided to them. So we did order Bibles. That time I was there, they were out of stock, so I ordered them to be shipped after I leave. you know, because they print them from South Korea and other places, and they come down. So sometimes they run out. So I then went to a place called Chimenga, which is in the southeast. I met the some of the, like this one was, I would, let's say, go to a place on a Tuesday, but they have service on Wednesday. And maybe I go there to meet some of the brothers, the pastors, and they were gracious to come and meet us and to talk to us. And, you know, they were building their church here on the left. And we thank the brothers for sponsoring their roof. By the grace of God, their roof is complete. I think I'll put up the pictures. Hopefully, maybe next week, I'll send Brother Barry. I think the last one was when they had put the trusses on. They were just left with the sheets, but it should be complete. So we had a service there in Chimenga. It was just a wonderful time with the Lord. And then from there, I went to a place called Mutare. This was Sister Trish's church. That's in the city in the east of Zimbabwe, and we had some services there. And then from Mutare, we went to Harare. We had a service there. There's a group that meets in Harare, and they ran from the, you know, Dutch Reformed Church. But by the grace of God, last month, you know, God gave them, they now have completed their building. So we had services there. This is the church where I was in before I came to the U.S. And that's some of my old friends, Brother Joseph Chikosi. Some of you have seen him when he came around. And I also went to a church that was pastored by Brother Mukanganuma. So we had some wonderful services there. So that was, you know, in a nutshell, the trip. It was about 10 days, I think, almost 12 services. We covered, I think we ministered to at least 5,000 believers during that period. And there is a lot that is happening there. You know, we'll give you updates in the coming months and so on. Many things are on the pipeline in Ethiopia, in Tanzania, in Zimbabwe, you know, Burundi, and many other parts of the country. And we want to thank the brothers for sponsoring and the Vision Books for, you know, giving the supplies. One thing I like about this church is that we always, you know, we have put missionary work at the heart of what we do, which I believe that's what the word teaches, right? The prophet says God never sent us to build hospitals. He never sent us to build schools. Yes, we can, but that's not the main thing, right? So we want to keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is for us to do missionary work. So when we do missionary work, then God loves that and he blesses us. It's just like the greatest gift that was given to a family. You know what it is? It's to raise children, right? It's to have a family. Family after, from God, the next thing is what is family, right? The family of God and your own, you know, natural family. So that's the same thing spiritually. The church, we were given a commission by God to raise children. Amen. So some of the children are here, some are outside, whichever way. So God wants, is very jealous of that. Sometimes some places, they lose the revive because, you know what? They leave the main thing. So if we stay, you know, if we continue, that was the book of Acts. They had three things, as Brother Mariah said. They continued in prayer. They continued, you know, in fellowship, in breaking bread. So they were just going around spreading the gospel. So the prophet says, if you can't go, then what? Then send someone. So it's not about, you know, it's a collective effort. No one can do everything. I do my little part, you do your little part. And if anyone feels led, wants to go out and minister, you're always, the door is always welcome. We'll take you to the trenches and we can try you out there. And I'm sure it will be a blessing. But the saints in Ethiopia, they really send their gratitude. They say thank you so much for everything that you've been doing for them. And Brother Elias and the saints in Zimbabwe. All right, so maybe let's switch gears to the message this morning. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. You don't have to stand since we stood. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, written with which no man knoweth, saving him that readeth it. Amen. If we also go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, right, so 3, verse 12, it says here, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So everything is, I'm sure you can see the theme from the scriptures that we read, you know, the name of Jesus Christ. And as I was studying yesterday, I thought to myself, maybe I'll have the song leader sing, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And just right before I came, I didn't even talk to the song leader. He just went in and he sang that song. I said, sometimes we like to do things, but you know what? We just sometimes just let the Holy Ghost do it. Because that was upon my heart, right? So in Revelations, it says that he that overcomes, I will write upon him the name of my God, right? So this is Philadelphia. The previous one is Pergamos. So it's two things, right? Pergamos, God was going to give you a white stone. And the white stone, he will write a new name. He will write your new name on that white stone. And Revelation is a book of symbols. But in Philadelphia, he says, he that overcomes, I will write my new name upon him, and the name of the city of my God. Amen. So it's three things that he talks about in Philadelphia, right? It's my name, the name of the city of my God, and the name of my God. So the revelation of three names. And we're going to find them out today as we progress. And I want you to understand as we begin that God reveals himself through his names. Because these names are not just, you know, like words to say Jesus. Anyone can be called Jesus. This is why even Paul says in the scripture, I'm ashamed that you have turned aside to another gospel, or you are following another Jesus. Because anyone, we have so many people that are called Jesuses, right? But not everyone of them is a Messiah. So there is a name, and then there is a life behind that name. So when we say the scripture we read in Colossians, whatever you do in word or in deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't just mean that we use the name in vain to just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Anyone can do that, right? Even Kanye West had a church that he called the Church of Jesus. You know, anyone can say that. But it means that it's the name of Jesus in the context in which, you know, in God's characteristics, so to say. Right? So if I say Jesus by revelation, it means something. But if somebody says Jesus without revelation, it does not mean anything. So the sons of Sceva, they said, we cast you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. And the demons could not obey that, because there was no life or revelation behind that name. So when we say we will do something in the name of Jesus, it's not enough just to put a name as a tag. We have to have a revelation behind that name for that to have an effect. Because anyone, I mean, in any day, I'm sure everyone, there's a million people who say, you know, Jesus any day. But he will only hear if it's spoken by revelation. And if it's spoken by something that God recognizes. Right? If I say dad, right now if I say dad, nobody will pay attention. Because my dad is not here. Right? But if he was here, if I say dad, he would turn around because he knows my voice, right? And he can respond to my voice because he knows that there's a life behind it if I say dad. But if I call Noah and I say, Noah, can you say dad? We'll see Brother David. Why? Because he can recognize that voice. That's why the Bible says that he's the Spirit of God.
It's in us, and it cries, Abba, Father. So he recognizes it when we say, Abba, Father, when we speak through that Spirit. If we don't have that Spirit, then we cannot be recognized. But if we speak with that Spirit, with that revelation, then he is able to pay attention. Because he recognizes that this is my son speaking. This is my daughter speaking. So there is a life behind the name. And Jesus is revealed in his names. And his revelation, it's a life that he's giving forth. Like Genesis chapter 1, he was called El Ela Elohim, which means he was the self-existing one. He was just a self-existing one covering all space, time, and eternity. But if you go down, then he is called Ruach Elohim. And the Bible says that he was brooding upon the many waters. And he was, you know, he was creating things. And the prophet says to brood is to make love. So if you go to the Hebrew, he's called Ruach Elohim. In other words, he is the one that is able to give life. That the name, the word Ruach is the same word that you find in Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. It's the life-giving spirit. It's a life-giving name. It's a breath that makes things come forth. When he said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be this, and then there was that. So it was Ruach. So he had to change his form from El Ela Elohim to Ruach so that he can create. So the name reveals what he's doing. And the name reveals his relationship with his creation. So when he was alone, he was El Ela Elohim because he was alone. But he was Ruach Elohim. He was about to create. And then you go down, then he was called Yahweh Elohim. Which, you know, later was translated into Jehovah, into Lord. Was the Hebrews, they didn't want even to mention the name Yahweh because it was so sacred. They would just say Lord. But if you look at the original Hebrew, it's Yahweh, right? No one knows the actual translation because they didn't want to use it. It was so sacred to them. They would just call it Lord. And then later on called Jehovah. It means the one who is becoming. So he is Jehovah. He is becoming. He is now dwelling with his family. Amen. It's like when you become a father, when you have children, then you become a father. So Jehovah is the one. It can also be, you know, be associated with I am. He said to Moses, I am that I am. In other words, that's a prefix. You can put whatever you need in that one. Amen. I am. If you need bread, I am the bread of life. If you need light, I am the light of the world. Whatever you need, he is there to supply it. And he reveals himself based on your need. When you have need peace, he is Jehovah Shalom. When you need righteousness, he is Jehovah Tsekano. Hallelujah. When you need something, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God that provides. So he was revealing all these names based on the circumstances. So in other words, our situations was defining God. Our situations were revealing who God is. So whatever situation you have, it's an opportunity for God to reveal himself. Whatever problem you have, it's a space for God to show who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. So they knew him in different ways. He revealed himself to Ezekiel as a wheel in the midst of a wheel. He revealed himself to Moses as a burning bush. He revealed himself to Daniel in the form of an angel. He revealed to different sages in different forms. And God is very, very personal. He's not going to reveal himself to us all the same. He will reveal himself to a little girl in a different way. But in every situation, he is Jehovah. He is Jehovah in every situation. He is the great I am in every situation. Whatever you have need of, he is what that thing is. He does not only provide, he becomes what you need. When they wanted bread, he became the bread of life. When they wanted water, he was the water of life. When they wanted healing, the Lord is our healer. So Jesus is whatever you need. So when we say Jesus is everything, that literally means he is everything. Amen. Hallelujah. When you need peace, he says, I am the peace. And he's the Prince of Peace. So he himself is peace. When you need love, God is love. And Jesus Christ is love. Whatever you need, Jesus Christ is. He amorphous. He changes his mask, but he's still the same God. Whatever you need of, he's able to change his name to fit your situation. Maybe what you need today, I don't know, but God is able to provide. If you need a job, God can give you a job. If you need healing, God can give you healing. If you're depressed, God can give you joy. Whatever you need, God can provide for you. All you have to do is to believe him and trust him that he is what he is. One of the reasons why he had problem with the children of Israel is they doubted him. They doubted his capacity. And God didn't take that lightly. They doubted the Holy One of Israel. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Let me tell you something this morning. God can give you a table in the wilderness. God can lead you in the path of the still waters. God can restore your soul. You may be going through a depression. He can restore your spirit. You may have anxiety. He can restore your spirit. God is able to do it for you. Hallelujah. Never doubt the Most High God. Never doubt the Most High God. It affects God when we doubt him. That's why he said to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord, the I Am, the Yahweh? There is nothing too hard for God. When Sarah laughed, God didn't like that. Why did Sarah laugh? And sometimes we laugh. When we are pinned down, when we're in a situation, when we get a diagnosis, sometimes we laugh. You said, oh, you know what? This happens to all people over 70 years old. This happens to every young man. No, sir, it doesn't have to happen to you. God can change that situation for you. People say, all women are like that. No, not all women are like that. You can ask God and God can change a situation. Don't say, all men are like this. All husbands are like this. No, sir, don't speak like that. Speak the name of Jesus Christ to your situation. Speak the name of Jesus Christ for your family. Speak the name of Jesus for your job and for your work. He is able to change things in your life. People say, you know, brother, I had a childhood trauma. I don't care what you went through. Jesus can help you. Jesus can help you. And he says, I will give you a new name. It means you had an old name, but now you have a new name. If you were Jacob, maybe you were a supplanter. Maybe you were a thief. Maybe you were a robber. Maybe you had a secret struggle that you had. You know, the secret struggles, those are the worst of the worst. Because no one knows about it. You know, the devil will tell you, don't tell anyone about it. And they eat you alive. It's like Naaman, who was a general, but you know what? He was secretly struggling with leprosy. And he would wrap himself, he would wear a long sleeve. And you know what? The devil will give you something to compensate. But he doesn't want you to go to the root problem. But Jesus heals the root problems. Jesus takes care of the root problems. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ gives a solution, he doesn't give a half-baked solution. He gives the real solution. One time a man was blind. He came to Jesus and he prayed for him. And he said, how are you doing? He says, I see people like trees. That was a partial solution. And Jesus says, don't go anywhere. Let's pray again. And when he prayed again, he says, what do you see? He says, I can see. So don't wait. Wait upon Jesus. Maybe you are at a place where you are seeing people like trees. That's not the clear picture that Brother Chris was talking about. God wants you to see clearly. Wait upon him. He's not interested in giving you a half-baked solution. He's not interested in giving you a knockoff 50% discount from Temu. He wants to give you the real thing. Hallelujah. He wants to give you the real solution to your problem. But you have to come to him and trust that he's able to do it for you. So he is the great I Am. And he's able to intervene on our behalf. And he's able to change our name. Because your old name is your old nature. This is Jacob. But you see, it's not enough just to say, I'm Israel. There has to be something that happens in between. So your life has to be changed. And that new life comes with a new name. So a new name is a new life. So Israel was a new name, but that new name, it came with a new life. But before that, it was Jacob. A lot of people, they want a new name, but they don't want a new life. That's a recipe for disaster. That's why we have a lot of churches that call upon the name of Jesus. But not many of them can be called Christians. Not many of them are going to be with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because people want names, but they don't want the life that comes with a name. Hallelujah. It's like dating and living in. You don't want to be married. You just want to enjoy certain things, but you don't want the responsibility of getting married. And that's the scheme of the devil. The only way you can live with a woman is if you marry her. There is no marriage, there is no communion outside of marriage between a man and a woman, between a boy and a girl. That's just the order of God. So when God gives you a new name, he puts his life in you. Because remember, when we said he was Ruach Elohim, he was going to give life. There was a man in the Bible. His name was called Abram. Now, Abram is a six-letter word. And when God visited Abraham the fifth time, and five is the number of grace. So when God visited Abraham the fifth time, and I want you to notice one thing. Sometimes God can visit you the first time and nothing changes. God visited you the second time, nothing changes. Keep coming to church, even if nothing changes. Because you don't know the day he's going to speak to your situation. You don't know the day he's going to change your circumstances. Just keep coming to church. So the fifth time and five is the number of grace. He says, for me to do this operation, I have to change your name. Some of our problems are associated with our names. That is why Brother Branham, before he preached for anyone, he would ask them, are you a Christian? Because I can't help you if you have that old name. Jesus can't help you unless you accept him as your personal savior. There is a limit to what God can do until you accept him. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you accept him, then he's able to do more for you. That's why one time he found a man who was pinned down. And he says, are you a Christian? He says, I don't believe so. I'm a Christian. He says, where did you leave him? Go back where you find him. When you find where you left him, then I can pray for you. Then he can heal you. So the name brings life. But the life has to change. And the new life that changes, it carries a new name. And this name is not just an earthly name. When God comes to you, he identifies himself with you. So his name was called what? Abraham. And God says, you shall no longer be called Abraham. Your name shall be called Abraham. And what does that mean? It means that he was going to change. He was going to add the letter H. Now, the letter H in Hebrew, it speaks about life. Because that letter H, you find it in the name Yahweh. So the same Yahweh. So Yahweh was putting his life in Abraham. So Abraham, for you to prosper, for you to multiply, for you to be blessed, I have to give you a part of my name. So when Abraham took God's part, that is the covenant between God and Abraham. It was God taking a part of God taking a part of Abraham, and Abraham taking a part of God. So the H was not just a letter from the alphabet. It was a symbol that God was adding breath into Abraham. So before life could come forth, God had to put breath in the name of Abraham. And it became Abraham. There was life. So the H in Hebrew, it speaks life. Because that's the part of the name Yahweh. That's the part of the name Ruach. It brings life. So life cannot exist outside of the breath of God. Because the first man, Adam, was created by God. But the Bible says, and God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And man became a living soul. So if we are to live before him, we have to have his breath. That's why when you read in John chapter 20, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what did he do? He breathed the breath of life unto the disciples. And he says, whatever sins you shall remit, they shall be remitted. Whatever you bind on earth can be bound. That promise only works to those who have received the breath of life. Because if you don't have the breath of life, you can claim it, but it won't happen. Because when you have the breath of life, then you have the mind of Christ. You know what to say and when to say it. You know how to say it. You're not just going to stand and say, let there be a mansion, let there be this. It has to be a revelation in time and in season. So God had to also change the name of Sarah to Sarah. And the prophet says, even our children, we have to be careful what names we give them. Amen. But today I'm not talking about those natural names. That's fine. Change if a child's name is Ricky, change it to something good, like Aaron, for example. Amen. So that the name brings life. So when you are baptized, you take the name of Jesus. You are taking on a new life. You are not just, it's not just a ritual. You are taking a new name. And in the spiritual realm, we will see according to the scripture, there is only one name. And that name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says the whole family in heaven and on earth is named Jesus. How many knows that? So in the realms of the spirit, when the devil looks at you, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, he sees Jesus. Because Jesus said unto Paul, so why do you persecute me? He didn't say, why do you persecute the church? Because the church had to become part of him. And he was part of the church. So Satan is not just looking at brother Sam. He's looking at Jesus. Because you bear the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we have to have the breath of life. So we come to Pergamos. Now Pergamos, don't worry, I'll close very soon. Pergamos means marriage. It was a place where Constantine and his people, they married church and politics. And that is never a good idea. It's a disaster. Because church and politics must be separate. This is why on this pulpit we don't preach Democrats, we don't preach Republican, we don't preach MAGA, we preach the Bible. Because politics and church are separate. Because politics is of the devil. But the word comes from God. So we told the line of the word. Amen. So Pergamos was a marriage between the church and the politics. And whenever church and politics marry, they produce a red horse. They produce persecution. Because if I hate this brother in another church, I can't do anything to him. But if I mix with politics, guess what? I can then send politics to go after that man. That's how persecution works. Is that without politics, it's just a white horse. But when you marry with politics, it's given a sword. It becomes a red horse. Because politics has the power to persecute. Like right now, Rome is a beast, but it's powerless. That's why in the tribulation, it has to be married to what? To America. Because America is a political power. So when it's married to America, it forms an image of the beast. Then persecution then happens. Because the beast now has a sword. Suddenly they have a sword. They have a sword, and it comes through financial systems. It comes through, you know, many things, right? Political pressure. An executive, Rome cannot write an executive order to close churches. They don't have the political power. But when Jezebel, Rome, marries Ahab, America, it forms an image of the beast. Hallelujah. I hope you are right. So at Pergamos, the Bible says that as many as who have not denied my name. So at Pergamos, the church still had the name of Jesus Christ. But in the dark ages, that name was lost. People were baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because when people backslide, they lose the name of Jesus. Because Eve was equal with Adam in the book of Genesis. But when she left the word, what happened? She left the life of the word. She lost that position. And Adam says, you shall be called Eve, because you shall be the mother of what? Of all living. But before that, she wasn't Eve. She was Mrs. Adam. Adam and Eve had one name. That name was Adam. But when Eve fell, she took a blasphemous name called Eve. Hallelujah. So she was going to be the mother of what? Of the living. So when the church fell at Nicaea, they left the name of Jesus and they took on denominational names. Denominational names. I don't want to name them here. I want to be, you know, politically correct this morning. So they left the name of Jesus. And when they left the name of Jesus, they also left the life of Jesus Christ. Because the name carries the life. But there were few that were in Pergamos who did not deny his name. And he says, because you have not denied my name, I'm going to give you a white stone, a revelation. And on that white stone, I'm going to write a new name that no one knows but yourself. So God is promising the overcomer, I will give you a new name. So the concept of a new name, you find it throughout the whole Bible. Whenever you overcome, God gives you a new name. Whenever you overcome, God gives you a new name. It's like when we were, before we were, you know, a British colony, right? And then we overcame, and then we said we're going to be called the United States of America. We got a new name after we overcame. And that name, USA, carries values with it. You can have the name without the values. Like right now, we have lost the values. We just have the name. But the name is not going to help us without the life. So you have to have the name and the life. Amen. So God says, I'm going to give you a new name. And he, and to the people inside it. And then it's Philadelphia, which is the sixth church age of John Wesley. This is the church age of... Okay, let me back that. Before that, there was Sardis. Sardis is the age of Martin Luther. There was a revival. There was a reformation in the time of Luther. Can I have a few minutes and then we'll close? So Sardis means the escaped ones. They were escaping Catholicism. But you know what? They still continued with some of the doctrines of the Catholic. They still continued with the teaching of the Catholic. So that's why Revelation says you have a name that you're living, but you are dead. So they had a name. Oh, there's a reformation. But they did not have the name of Jesus. They were still baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They were still having, you know, father, cardinal, and popes, and bishop. They were still pretty much like Catholic. So they had part of the truth, but they did not have the full truth. It was not a restoration, it was a reformation. But at Philadelphia, the name started to come back with John Wesley. Hallelujah. So at Philadelphia, the name was coming back. And at Philadelphia, God gives the overcomer a promise of three names. He says, I'll give you the name of my God, and I'll give you the name of the city of my God, and I'll give you my new name. And Brother Branham in the church ages, he says, the name of the Father is what? Is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, I come in my Father's what? In my Father's name. And he says, the new Jerusalem is the bride. So the new Jerusalem has the name of Jesus. And my new name, what is the name of God? It's the name of Jesus. So the name of my Father, the name of my city, and then my new name is the same name, the name of Jesus. So the overcomer shall have the name of Jesus. Because when we come to the mark of the beast, we have two marks. We have the mark of the Antichrist, and we have the mark of the cry of the Christians, right? The seal, we call it the seal of Christ. And we have the mark of the Antichrist. And the Bible says they have the mark in their foreheads. Now, the prophet says it doesn't mean that somebody will come and write upon your forehead. That's carnal. You know, like people think Bill Gates is the Antichrist. Like, really? Somebody may be evil, but doesn't make them an Antichrist. We have so many people who are not Christians who are bad, but they're not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the vicarious Philly Day. He is the number of him. And the Bible says, let him who has wisdom interpret the number of his name. So the one who has wisdom is a prophet. He is the one who reveals who the Antichrist is. So if you want to know who the Antichrist is, don't go on the internet. Go to the one with wisdom. Because wisdom was given to Daniel because he was also kind of a Gentile prophet. And wisdom is given to Elijah to reveal the Antichrist. And some people say, oh, people knew that even before Brother Branham came. I'll ask you something. When Moses came from the mountain with tablets of stone, when he says, thou shalt not kill, was that new or not? When Moses said, thou shalt not lie, was that new or not? That was always there, but it was coming under a declaration of a vindicated prophet. So some of the things in the seals, they may have been spoken by lacking and different ones, but the prophet was coming and giving a declaration that this is the truth. Because you need an absolute. It's like me trying to go on a diet. I go on the internet. Some will say, don't eat meat, it's bad for you, your cholesterol. Some will say, no, you have to have a carnivore diet. And some say, don't eat vegetables, they've got pesticides. Some will say, no, eat vegetables. There's no absolute. It's hard. Don't eat eggs. Oh, you must eat 4 eggs in the morning. Eat a lot of protein, right? Anyway, you've got a protein count, you have a vegetable count, all kinds of counts, right? You have all kinds of things because there's no absolute. But when the prophet comes now, he will give you the absolute. He'll say, now, this is the truth. The sixth messenger was John Wesley. And then you follow that what? That absolute. But now it's just wondering on the internet, what is this? So in South Philadelphia, God says, I will give you my name. And that name is the name of Jesus. The overcomer receives the name of Jesus Christ. And that name is the name that gives you your life. And that becomes your identity. This is where I want to be, what I want to hammer home. That new name is your identity. It's not your old name. It's not your dead surname. That is fine, right? I know you are proud to be Irish or German or African or Maasai, but that is not your identity. That is just this flesh that you put on the outside. Your name is Jesus Christ. That is your identity. That is what identifies you in heaven. And the book and the names that are written in the book of life, it's not your natural name. It's a spiritual name that is written upon a white rock. So don't waste your time saying, oh, you know what? My dad did this. My father was that. Oh, this in my family. Oh, these traits. Yes, they have influence on you. Yes, I know that. 100%, right? This is why I have a funny accent. I can't deny that. But that's not my identity. My identity is in Jesus. That is where you are. That is what Jesus said. I'm giving you a new name. So you must embrace your new name. It's like when you come to America, you get on a visa, or whether you come through the southern border, whichever way, right? And then eventually you get a green card. And they say, okay, now you're a United States citizen. Can you bear your allegiance? Then they give you a passport and, you do all the motions, right? And then you become an American citizen. Whenever you talk to them, are you an American citizen? Yes, I'm an American citizen. When you do your taxes, I'm an American citizen. When you go to the bank, I'm an American citizen. But imagine if somebody would say, are you an American? Well, actually, I'm Zimbabwean, I'm Ghanaian. You renounce your old citizenship and you get a new one, right? That's what Jesus Christ does, is you get a new name, and that new name becomes your identity. And the prophet says, let me skip this. Now we ask, what is the will of God? There is only one way to know his will, and that is by the word of God. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? There it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it. So we can't ask unless it's in the word. And we can't petition or ask unless it is in his name. Amen. There it is. Jesus Christ is, Jesus, the name is the word, is the will. So when you receive the name of God, you also receive a part of the word. Because remember, there's only one form of what? Of eternal life. So when you are born with a germ of life. That germ is called the word of God. So when the Holy Ghost comes, it comes to give life to that germ of life. And when the Bible says, if we ask anything according to his will, according to his name. The prophet is saying, to ask in according to his name is to ask according to his will. And to ask according to his way, his will is according to his word. If I take two men and I say, I marry you in the name of Jesus, does that work? Can I say I've married them in the name of Jesus? No, sir. Because it's not according to the word. This is why we tell young people, stay with the word. Because the blessing exists in the word. Unfortunately, God is limited by his word. God cannot bless you outside of the word. That's why God had to take Israel back to the promised land, because he has to bless them according to his word. If you want God to bless you, play by the word. You can't be out in the world and you want God to bless you. You can't be, today you are doing this and tomorrow you say, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to give up one. You have to die to one so that one can live. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, first of all, make an effort to die to yourself. Make a decision to say, Lord, I want to have a new life. Yes, you may not be able to do it, but you must make that decision. Because people are trying to have it both ways. They want to be in the world, they want to be in church. It will never work. The Bible says you cannot serve God and Mammon. And that's the spirit of Laodicea. It's a mixing spirit. And God does not want mixing. God hates mixing, spiritually speaking. When the sons of God took the daughters of men, what happens in the days of Noah? God destroyed the whole world. In the rebellion of Korah, about 1,000 people died. In the golden calf, about 3,000 died. But when they mixed with Moabites at Baal Peor, 23,000 died. Because God wants his people to be separated. The Bible says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, and the prophet explains it this way. He says, a mustard seed cannot mix. Right. Amen. So your faith should not mix like Abraham. Abraham, he had to be called from the Chaldeans because God did not want him to mix with the Chaldeans. He grew up in Chaldea, but when God called him, he gave him a new name, a new land, and a new promise. He was no longer mixing with this. But today we want the new name and the new land, but we also want the custom of the Chaldeans. That will never work. You have to leave your father and your mother, and you have to start a new life. Just like when you get married, you can't always be going back to your dad. You have to live a new life with your wife. Amen. 5 minutes and I'll close. Now, and if people won't walk in his perfect will, he does have a permissive will. He will let you walk in it. Notice, he permits it, all right, but he will make it work out for his glory in his perfect will. So God has one way. His way is the perfect will. And that's his way, his will, his word, his name. If you choose any other way, he will let you do it. Like he told Balaam, don't go. But Balaam kept asking, Lord, can I go? You know what God said? God says, you can go. Because the Bible says, because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That's why we have so many reprobates in these last days. It's a spirit. We have strong delusions. People will call it mental health, but it's strong delusions. Spirits. Because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God. If people keep blaspheming, whether it's movies, you think God is just going to sit down and say, well, you can do whatever you want. He will give you over to strong delusions. To believe a lie and to be damned by it. People believe a lie. It's like people who want to criticize the message. Let me tell you something. Just because you win an argument, it doesn't mean you are right. There are websites that literally prove that the moon landing never happened. There are websites that prove that the earth is flat. There are websites, just because you make a website, you make an argument, it doesn't mean it's true. There are theses that prove that a man is a woman and a woman is a man. But it doesn't make it the truth. Amen. Winning an argument does not mean you have got the truth. Because God is not in arguments. God is in revelation. God is not interested in proving himself to the critics. God reveals himself to his children. Amen. Hallelujah. I think my screen is off that side, so maybe this is a sign for me to close. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So if you say, Lord, Lord, or if you say, Jesus, 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 you gotta have the life that goes with that name. And the Bible says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord flee from what? From iniquity. Because the name has to go with a life. God put his name in Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the Son of God. Every son comes in his Father's name. He said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. I come in my Father's name. You come in your Father's name. Jesus come in his Father's name. So his Father's name is Jesus because he come in his Father's name. Let me read my last quotation and then we close. Now that same Logos has a part. He has got a bride. Now the Logos, the word Logos, you find it on John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And we said the Word is the what? Is the Logos. Now we are part of that Word. Because when we say Word in English, it can mean a lot of things, right? If you speak a sound, it's a word. You know, but that is not the Word that we're referring to. The Word here is Logos. It's a being. It's a person. It's someone. So when we say, stay with the Word, stay with the Word, we're not talking about quotations, making, you know, taking quotations in a kind of way, like randomly. You are taking the whole Word, which is Jesus Christ. Having the Word is not just having one quotation and blowing it beyond measure. No, sir. Having the Word is having Jesus. And Jesus is a person. He has got eyes, he's got lips, he's a whole person. So if you have one part of the Word, you don't have the Word. Because for you to have the Word, you have to have the Logos, the entire Word, Jesus Christ. So when you receive the person of Christ, then you receive the Word. So you become part of that Word. And that's why Peter says, we are born not of corruptible, but of an incorruptible seed. And let me say this as I close. The incorruptible seed is the Word of God. And every son of God must be born by that seed. Do you know one of the reasons why the Jews are the most hated group in the world? It's because no matter where you go, the Jews, they keep their custom and their tradition. They don't mix with the nations. You cannot mix the Jews. And of course, some of them, not every Jew is a Jew, right? We all know that. When we say Jews, it doesn't mean everyone who's a Jew is a Jew. No, sir. Just like Christians, not every Christian is a Christian. When we say we stand with Christians, we mean God's children. It doesn't mean we have to agree with everything that everyone does. There are Christians, so-called, who are bad, who are humanizers, who are many things. Right? Similarly, you've got Jews who are even anti-word, right? But you have also real Jews. But one of the reasons why Jews are hated is because no matter which country they go to, they are always separated people. They always do their thing. And that's why for ages, because you know what? Whenever rulers and emperors come, one thing they want is they want absolute control. You know, when Muhammad came, he convinced a lot of people he was a prophet, except the Jews. That's why, you know, there was, you know, the massacre in Medina, if you read history, where they killed many Jews because the Jews could not accept Muhammad as a prophet. Now, you can control many ethnic groups politically, but it's very difficult to control the Jews. They stay true to their orthodox teaching. They will do things their certain way. They will follow their culture and so on. That's the same thing with Christianity. We are called to be a separate people. We cannot mix with the world. We should not have a complex when people consider us different. It's okay. God made it that way. We are not under pressure to conform or to be understood or to be like everyone else. God made it by design. We are different. We talk different. We live different. We walk different. Some people don't like that. They say, why can't I be like everyone else? Because, honey, you are God's child. You can't be everyone else because you are born in a royal family. It's like I was reading a story about, you know, the people in the old time, in the Gilded Age, like the one of the Vanderbilt daughters, she said, I'm lonely in this big house, in this castle. She's like, listen, sweetie, you can't go everywhere because you are a Vanderbilt. It's not even safe for you to do it. You may feel like, oh, why do I have to live in a palace? Why do I have to? Because you are born in a royal family. And you don't choose where you are born. You can say, well, I want to rebel, like I want to do whatever I want. It's up to you. But listen, God made you his child. And he has put his name together with your name. And you cannot be anything you want. Because your name and his name are now the same. If the musicians can come. Now, young people, let me tell you something. You may feel bitter. You may feel like, how long can I be controlled? The world is evil out there. One thing that you don't want God to do is to give you over. Do you know that people who smoke, they don't smoke for pleasure. They smoke to fulfill an addiction. Because they can't help themselves. It's slavery. You have to do it because you have got a what? An addiction. So most of the things in the world, they are done to appease a craving or an addiction. So that addiction, it's a spirit that feeds upon that. So really, it's not freedom because you have to do it. Because you can't control it. It's slavery. Anything that you can't control is slavery. But if you can control, then you are free. This is why we say, young people, control your finances, right? Control your health. Eat well. Just listen to your doctor. You want, that's what freedom is when you can control your life. And Jesus Christ gives you the control of your life. But the devil wants you to lose control. He wants you to be an addict of games. He wants you to be an addict of pornography. He wants you to be an addict of smoking and drinking. There are all kinds of things. He wants you to be an addict of gambling. He wants you to be an addict of womanizing. Everything in the world right now is becoming an addiction. Why? Because these are strongholds that have come in the last days. But God can make you free. You don't have to be a slave to debt. You don't have to be a slave to Hollywood. You don't have to be a slave to the internet. You can be a free son and daughter of God. Let's stand up on our feet. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. Lord, it's because of that name that we have life this morning. Lord, we are so privileged, Lord, that we can have a family. We can kiss our children goodnight. We don't have to worry about our conscience. We don't have to take drugs to pacify our conscience because it's far seared with the things of the world. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because we know that we are trusting and we are looking over to you, oh God. Father, may you help your children this morning. We want to live, Lord, with the benefits of the name of Christ, the life that is behind that name. We want to have our identity, Lord, associated with you, to have the revelation of what you have made us, to be proud of who we are, to be happy with what you have made us, Lord. Oh God, you are looking through the corridors of time and you wanted to have a friend and you chose us to be your friends. And you said, I call you friends. Lord, there were many people in the world. It's a privilege to be a friend of God. It's a privilege to be a son of God. And that's why your word says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called the sons of God. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning for making us your children, for making us your sons, for calling us, Lord, to a life that is separate, that is consecrated. Lord, some of us, Lord, have dark past. Some of us have had struggles. But we are asking this morning, may you change each and every of our names, oh God. Lord, some are carrying names of addiction. Some are carrying names of trauma. Some are carrying names of mistakes, names of things that happened in the past. But Father, may you come in our midst this afternoon and erase that name. And may you make them realize that they are free and they have to walk in a new name, even the name of Jesus. The clean name, the name of the Lamb of God, that is higher than every sickness, every devil, every influence, every disease, every evil, everything on this world that may be contrary to your word. Help us, Father, for you have made us the bride, even Mrs. Jesus. You have given us, Lord, a domain, a castle, Lord, a Goshen, a place, oh God, where we can hide. The time of trouble that has come upon the earth, the darkness that is upon the earth, the evil that is upon the earth. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to stay, Lord, in your arms, to stay, Father, in your protection, to stay, Lord, under the influence of your great name. Bless each and every one of your children this afternoon. Help the feeble among us, Lord. Fill our young people with the Holy Ghost, and many of them being baptized. Father, we know that's one step of the journey, but you fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Give them a desire and a thirst to know you more. Help us, Father, to search you daily, to look for you, oh God, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Help us to draw closer and closer to you. For Lord, we know that one of these days, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. One day we shall see you in the cloud. One day, Father, you shall come and call our names. And Father, I will be listening for my name. When the Savior calls, I will answer. And when he calls my name, I will hear. And Father, without your breath, without your life, we are just dead bones in the valley. But you say to the prophet, can these bones live? And he says, you, Lord, only you can know if these can live. And Lord, you cause the breath of life to come upon the dry bones. May the breath of life come upon these bones this afternoon. May the breath of life come upon the brothers and sisters. May the breath of life come upon the backsliders. May the breath of life come upon the mothers and the fathers. May the breath of life be with Brother Sam. May the breath of life be with Brother John Howell. May the breath of life be with Richard Smith. May the breath of eternal life be with each and everyone that needs a touch of healing. For in that name, there is healing. In that name, there is deliverance. Father, we speak that name upon everyone that is sick this morning. May the breath of eternal life be with our children. We commit them into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday. If you need prayer, you're certainly welcome. The altar is open. Brother Jerome.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able. What concerns me today, he is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me. He is able now. Accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more
compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh, and death could not hold. Before you, you silence the most of sin and grave, and the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no right. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal, now and
just to worship him. Amen. What a wonderful message, Brother Aaron. We certainly appreciate the report, man, of the travels around Africa, and just very encouraging to see what's going on the other side of the world. Amen. I'm glad to be part of that, aren't you? Amen. Let's sing a little song as we go. The goodness of God, isn't he good to us? Amen. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, yes, Lord. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, well, I will see the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In my darkest day, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. I have lived the goodness of God. Yeah. All my life you have been faithful. Yes, Lord. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am, I will see, yes, Lord, your goodness. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. My life laid down, I surrender. I will see the goodness of God.